All right. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord because He has truly blessed us. And even in the cold, whatever that transpires for each of us, that's a blessing from the Lord. And I was talking to several guys today and that were much older than I. And I said, "How's it going?" He said, "I'm up." I said, "Well, that's a good thing." And he goes, "Yep." So, you know, the fact that we're up and we're able to partner with the Lord in whatever He's doing. And so it has been my prayer that each of us would have that and exert, not exert, but yeah. There's a word there that I'm looking for. I can't find it right now. So you just have to pretend you heard it. But yeah, demonstrate that authority to call out those things that have been meant for us to have. To realize that God has prepared things for you specifically for this day before the foundations of the world. He really thought ahead about you being here right now in this day and this time and the things that you need to represent Him in a fullness of all of His glory. And so we have that authority to call that out, to say, "I want that now to be activated in me. And I'm going to move in that understanding this today. And your mercies are new every morning. Your directive, your glory is new every morning upon me. And so that's what I'm going to do today. So whatever else happens, it's going to demonstrate my relationship with you." Amen. So I've been blessed by the lessons that have been coming off the teaching platform from Dallas. This is something that the Lord has really capitalized on for the network that's beginning to develop in Brazil and in France. And they're just marvelous refreshers for us to keep us frosty, to keep us on the edge, to keep us ready to move forward and to solidify those things that we are living in and cause us to say, "Yes, this is who I am. Yeah, this is what I'm calling for to be in my life." And we want to take these reminders and incorporate them in the way we think, in the way we move forward, because this is what the Lord's prepared for us. So in several of these recent lessons that has already been mentioned this morning, there's been a focus on the concept of the Baka, which is that, you know, been translated as weeping. But it is the essence of prayer in the reality. And so what we're talking about this morning is the essence of prayer in this concept of understanding the Baka. And it represents the core of our true identity as we stand before the throne of grace. It represents what is going on within us, what the Spirit is doing as He stirs our heart, as we begin to let Him fill our mouths, to fill our hearts, to fill our minds as we think in the anointing of Jesus. So our true identity then is being established by what God has called us to be and how God has planned to fulfill His purpose through the way we live. So it is really important that we evaluate the way we live. Now, it's interesting that when there are nutritional issues that many times the acting physicians will ask you to document your daily routine, what you intake, and when you intake it, and so it you keep track of your time of your meal, you keep track of what you ate, and any snack in between time and the time it happens, and you know it's surprising when you look at those things and you map them out, your actual routine. And sometimes you'll say to yourself, "I didn't realize I did it that much. I didn't realize I was that frequent snacking, or I didn't realize I ate so much of this kind of one thing rather than that kind of another thing. And it's interesting. And so when we are called to look at ourselves, to examine our own hearts, it is for that purpose of understanding how we are in relationship with the Father and how He is changing our lives for what He wants to do. And so the magnificent aspect of our introspection and with the Spirit's directive is how God plans for our lives to be blended in together in perfect harmony with the lives of other saints who are functioning in the same on the same page as we, who are still looking for the heart of the Father, who are seeking His ways, His purposes. And so there is that intricate blending that is amazing to be a part of, because nothing else will do it. Nothing else has done it. And this is when we allow God to influence our daily life, it is going to mesh, and there's going to be an ability for people gathering together to function as one body. This was the desire of God all along, that the ecclesia, the called out ones, would come together and would harmonize and become as one. And so all this comes from this deep cry within us for God's will to be accomplished. And this deep cry, or this weeping as it's translated, is what we see prophetic in this prophetic word given by Jeremiah as he talks about the in a prophetic way the coming of the Christ. And so we look at Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verse 15. And what he's talking about is the circumstances around the birth of Jesus. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now, obviously, we know the story about Herod, who went into Bethlehem trying to get rid of the new king of Israel, and how he cruelly massacred all the young children from 2 years old on down, even to the seacoast. Not just Bethlehem, but he went to the coast and was trying to clean out everything that could possibly challenge his kingship. And so this is the Baka that is being talked about here. And it's this concept that holds our commitment to God's commissioning for however long it takes for His plan to be accomplished. Now, it's interesting that Jeremiah spoke about this 1,000 years before it actually happened. And so, yeah, I was thinking about this, how amazing that was, that those that heard that prophetic word were going, when's this going to happen? And to hold on to that word and to know that it was going to happen, they really had to give themselves to what was being promised by God until it was going to come through. A prophetic word doesn't always mean it's going to be instantaneous. We just have to receive it and then hang on to it until it happens in God's timing. So it's going to be important for us to continually evaluate our commitment to what God is doing in this season of grace, because we want to not lose the things that God has promised, to lose track of that and to begin to wander away from that direction that He has given us. And whatever we do in regard to God's purpose, let it be in harmony with the depth of our spiritual calling. And that calling is out to God for it to come to pass. And so we want to be faithful in this Baka as long as it takes for God to bring about the fulfillment. So, you know, I was thinking about Noah. You know, God came to him and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wipe mankind off the face of the earth. It's completely out of control. Nobody's doing anything that I've created them to be. And so I'm going to start over. And I want you to build an ark. And so it took Moses, at least we know, 80 years to finish the ark. That's longer than I've been alive. And yet he followed through. He kept at it. He did what it took to build the ark. And on top of that, he had all this ridicule from the community around him, antagonizing him and mocking him. And yet this was a time where he continued to preach righteousness to these people. And also he's trying to figure out what a cubit was. So we find this relationship of Noah, God's promise, the place where he was with the community around him is been called up as the place that's happening now. Jesus taught in Matthew that the days of Noah were still going on now. And it's going to be happening that as in the days of Noah will be the time when the Son of Man returns. So we are those preachers of the righteousness. We are crying out for the purpose of God's people to be the ecclesia, to be the ones that that God will use to bring together his body to function as one. And we are doing this in the face of those that are bringing ridicule about what God has called us to do. And we have committed to be his intercessors as long as it takes for his purpose to be fulfilled. So I am thankful for the time that we have, that God has brought to us there where work can be done. This is a time we are have this deep cry within us for God's will to be accomplished through us. Because we know the night's coming. Scripture says when that happens, no work will be done. And what happens then, why that is so, don't know. But this is what's coming. So we look at this Baka, and we see that it is about our deep commitment to what God has commissioned us to do. And our crying out, our weeping is about calling forth. It's about declaring. It's about using our authority in that place where we are to say, let your will be done. And let it come through me, that whatever you have planned for me to be in this point. So it's interesting that Matthew records the fulfillment of this prophetic word and uses the Greek word kaleo for this concept of weeping. He actually, word for word, says the same prophetic word in Matthew 2, 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and in great mourning, Rachel weeping, that's our word, kalah, for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So, by the nature of this prophetic word that was spoken and brought forward by Matthew, Rachel was cast as the mother of Israel. And this kaleo speaks of the intensity of the burden for what God was doing that raised that resided in the depth of that identity of Rachel being the mother of Israel. And this is the same intensity we carry for the burden of God who has called us. And it is an intensity or a focus that draws out all other, that drowns out all other motivations. It's calling for us to look at the opportunity of what has been missed and to call for that to be fulfilled. And it comes from that root word parakaleo, which is calling of the believers alongside God to partner in the completion of his redemptive plan for his creation and for his sons. So we as sons have this responsibility to come alongside of God, to kaleo, from the depths of who we are, for what God has planned from the foundations of the earth. We are to baka. We are to let the fullness of the Spirit bring out the desire of the Father. And we have sons have this responsibility. So when we look at this concept of Rachel not being comforted, for us it speaks of our passion for the needs of God. You know, we are those who counsel with God through our intercession. We counsel with him so that we are able to partner with him in the strategic points of restoration. And we will not find comfort in anything that is less than that. We will not be comforted by a substitute or a shortcut. And so as we look to see what has been left off, what has been missed, we are kaleoing to come alongside of God that it might be restored. And so we do this in a lively way. We carry the burden of the Father with gladness in our heart, passionately. We are pursuing his things and the way he wants them done. This has to do with our supplication on behalf of God's mission. We are a part of that work that he is doing to restore all things. So when we talk about the fast of Baka this week, our fasting is about becoming ready to be fruitful in a prophetic way over our lives, over who we have become. We are being prepared to do what God has commissioned us to be a part of till it is fulfilled. You know, we can look at the end of the book in Revelation, and we can see that God wins. But we need to keep reminding ourselves that this win involves us being faithful to what we have been called to do, no matter how long it takes. So to illustrate this concept of being those faithful who have this deep cry for what Jesus is going to do and has been doing when he returns, we want to look at what Luke says in chapter 12. Because the Lord showed me something here that I had missed and had really never connected. But it comes on the concept. It's about that way of truly functioning in the baka, functioning in that kaleo. Chapter 12, verse 35 through 37. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and be yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Now this coming forth to serve them, you know, just passed over that many, many, many times, and it never really stuck with me until this time, that we have to remain prepared for what the Lord is going to do. And the state of readiness has to go along with that concept of baka, and because it's going to be through us that his will is going to be accomplished. So this is essential for us to be vigilant in this. And this is this concept of girding our loins. Because in those days, that girding, that was a belt that allowed fluid movement, quick movement. And there was no garment to be in the way of the legs. And we know that the belt has to do with truth. It's part of the armament that we wear. And so this girding of our loins is about our ability to maintain the light, to keep the lights burning. And in that, we are waiting. And this girding of the loins is really something that says we're ready to move. When 1 Peter, in that first chapter, beginning with verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. So this really has to do with the way our mind thinks. We want to match our thinking with the intent of God. It's like we want to come in step with what he is doing. This fashioning ourselves is to conform with his pattern of movement, with his pattern of the way he does things. And the former lusts just have to do with the longings that we have, the hungers that we have developed over ourselves in whatever we knew. This doesn't have to be lustful, sinful, fleshly things, but this has to do with the way we have become comfortable in operating, the way we look at things, the way we perceive things, the way we intercept what comes at us and how we handle this. So we do the best we can with what we have. And what he is saying is, you are receiving a revelation of Jesus Christ. You're receiving the revelation of who he is, and you are becoming like him. You are beginning to think in relationship with the Father as he had with the Father. And so in this, you are to change and to move forward. So we have to be solid in the way God is doing things and how he does things. We have to know that this is the way God is. This is how he operates. This is what we can expect, so that when things happen, we are not alarmed or put off, but we are seeing his hand on these things, and we know his heart. And we are able to discern his voice from whatever other voices there are out there. We know that the scripture says there are many voices, and none of them without signification. In other words, they all have logic behind them. They all make some sort of sense. So how do you choose? How do you figure out what is the voice of God? You have to know his word. You have to know the God of the word. So really, when we're talking about a fast, we are talking about staying focused on what God has given us and allow him to change us through our willingness to receive, to be meek, to be open to what he is saying, to be open to his directive, to say, yes, Lord, I will do this on your behalf. And this submission of ourselves allows us to be prepared to function, to be girded up in the power and efficiency that God is looking for, that God desires from his children. He wants us to be efficient. He wants us to be effective. He wants us to move in power and authority, and he's given everything to us for this. You know, we see a lot of people that have topics that deal with the things that we talk about, like sonship and like, you know, it's being a saint and you know, prophetic words and interpretation. And we hear these things and they sound good, but when we examine what they're talking about, they have lost the context of how they were truly given. And so, like was mentioned this morning in our Sunday school lesson, without the context, without that understanding of the relationship we're supposed to have with the Father, you don't have anything. You don't have the thing that will move you forward. You just have information. What we're talking about is a relationship that moves us forward, that understands the heart of the Father, so that when we look at these things in the Scripture, we see them fitting together and how they are to bring us to a greater measure of responsibility for what God is doing. Consequently, without context, they're not prepared to become. Weeping just becomes a remorse or tears. They're not ready to be in that deep cry from within that looks for God's will to be accomplished. To want that more than anything. You know, and you can see this is why many movements start with great enthusiasm and then just gradually fade away. We are called to keep the lights burning. We are the ones that carry the light. We have become the light. There are so many teachings about the light. You know, the light that is not put under a bushel, the city that is upon the hill. And perhaps the most fitting is the parable of the 10 virgins with their lamps waiting for the bridegroom. 5 of them, foolish, had other things they wanted to do besides be the lamp carers. And 5 were ready. And the ones who ran out of oil were not paying attention. They were not paying the price to be ready. They were not girded up. Their minds were thinking of other things. But the 5 that were wise had girded themselves up, had prepared, had brought extra oil, what they would need, so that when the bridegroom came, no matter how long it took for him to get there, they would be ready. The ones that were foolish were thinking in their minds, he'll never show up. He's never going to. We're tired of waiting. They had stopped crying out for the return of the bridegroom. They had stopped baka. They had stopped doing what they were supposed to do. So keeping the lights burning is to be sons who know and function in the baka and in the kleo. We wait with eager anticipation. Our cry from the depths of our identity is creating a place for God's will to be done. We are the temple. That means we are the place that God is going to work. This means that we wait with eager anticipation. And the concept of waiting is to be ready with confidence, not just ho-hum, but with anticipation and with a measure of patience. We have to be committed to stay ready for as long as it takes for whatever God wants done. This is the mindset of the weeping. This is the mindset of this baka. This is the mindset of this kaleo. Here is what I missed before. The master of the house will gird himself. That means he will come prepared. Do more than just be the master. He has prepared himself to be a server. He has girded himself up with the identity of who he really is. How many lessons did Jesus teach where he says the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all? This is a demonstration of exactly that. He girds himself up and makes them to sit down to meet. Now, back then, they reclined when they got around the table. So this sitting down is not it is actually preparing to consume. And he will come forth and serve them. He will provide what is needed. He will bring them the sustenance that is theirs to gain their strength. And this girding is truly the function of moving quickly, of moving swiftly, of providing in a timely fashion exactly what's needed. These that are made to recline are those that have been faithful in their crying out from the depths of their identity, faithful to keep their lights on for the will of God to be done, faithful to make a place where God can move and God is able to do what he has destined them for. Truly, this is about intercession from the throne of grace. The fulfillment of the prophetic word that Jeremiah gave about Rachel was at least 1,000 years before time. The voice of Rachel was heard in the spirit. It wasn't about the sadness of the children being killed. It was about realizing the deficit that had been brought and wanting the fullness of God to be reestablished. It was about a deep crying for the will of God to be accomplished, even when it looked like it had all been taken away. We can't look at our circumstances and say, it's done. This is where we cry out, God, in this midst of what looks like terrible tragedy and looks like nothing is happening, it looks like it's been thwarted, the enemy has won, we cry out for that restoration of his will. We Kaeo. We partner with him to bring about those things. We come alongside. We become that partner that he can function with. We become that place where he can function in. It has to happen within us before we can go out. So we are in a time where we just can't give in to the luxury of weariness. You say, you know, I'm going to let somebody else carry this torch for a while. I carry the burden for a while. I've been doing this for too long. Or I just don't see me getting anywhere in this venture. I just need to try something else. This is a time where we become truly anchored, truly convicted, truly a part of what God is ready to do. This is not a time to give. These are the last days. We're coming into the home stretch. We have to work, for the night is coming. We have to pekah. God is fitting us together with the saints. We are functioning as one. We are here as a unit like we've never known before. And great things are coming. So we have to stay close to the Father. We have to kaleo. We have to parakaleo with him. Partnership. This is the essence of our prayers. This is the essence of our relationship to the Father. This is where we are today. And this is where God is going to use us in mighty ways as we move forward. So I thank the Lord for each of you. And I just speak blessing over you in this understanding that this has become a mighty force in your relationship with the Father and in your relationship with the ecclesia, with the saints, to move according as one, that we would be this mighty force that God has ordained for this time, that what has been thought to be lost would be restored, and the power that needs to move forward will be brought forward from the fullness of our commitment to the Father. And I thank you, Lord, for what you have promised to do, and we stay committed to that promise no matter how long it takes. And I speak these things in the name of Jesus. We say amen.